You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast, presented by Krauss Health, the exclusive healthcare partner of Syracuse Athletics.
Well, welcome back to another edition of the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast. And today we're expanding our view here. We're going to be talking about the entire ACC, the ACC tournament coming up this week in Washington, D.C. And joining me on the podcast is the esteemed writer from the Richmond Times Dispatch, the man that knows this league better than anybody else out there, David Teal. David, how are you?
Mike, thanks for the very kind introduction. I hope you are well, and I look forward to seeing you in the nation's capital, my friend.
I know. I'm looking forward to this one. You know, it's going to be the last ACC championship played outside the state of North Carolina for a long, long time.
Yeah, it will be. We are headed for Charlotte and Greensboro for a handful of years.
It's also going to be the last time, at least for the foreseeable future, that we're going to have an ACC tournament where all the teams in the league will be on hand starting next year when they expand to 18 teams. The bottom three are going to be left at home.
Yeah, and Mike, you're familiar with this from Syracuse's days in the Big East, when Mike Trangisi was the commissioner and they were at, I think, at one point 14 teams, and also maybe even at one point 16 teams. And Virginia Tech was in the Big East. There were a couple of years when the Hokies didn't get to go to the Garden for the Big East tournament. And I remember Mike Trangisi telling me, if you finish 15th in our league, you got more problems than not qualifying for the Big East tournament. And I just had to giggle because that was typical Mike Trangisi. But I understand why not only the ACC, but also the Big Ten did this. The Big Ten also will be 18 teams next year. And you just don't want a six-day conference tournament, you know, because then when do you end your regular season? Are you then turning around and starting your conference tournament on Monday? You don't want to push too close to Selection Sunday because of television obligations. A six-day tournament, just the logistics were unworkable.
You know, the whole leaving in, you know, three teams at home, you hate to see it. I know coaches don't love it. Fan bases don't love it, especially when your team's – the real danger is if you don't go to the tournament a couple years in a row.
Job security.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But in another light, Mike, you know, this is protecting so-called bubble teams from potential games against the bottom half of the league, or the bottom three in the league, that would do them no good. You know, winning is nothing for your resume and losing would be disastrous.
I agree. Yeah. The games that just won't move the meter at all. There's at that time of the year, there's no sense in playing them if you're a bubble team. You want to get right to the games that are going to help you get in. And we have a few bubble teams in the league this year.
Just a few.
So, you know, we can segue right on into the tournament using this as our jumping off point. Which of the teams are you looking at that are on the bubble that have like a make or break game early on here that could solidify an NCAA tournament bid for them? Or if they lose, their hopes might be done.
Mike, I think you're looking at least three, maybe four. Clemson, North Carolina, Duke, they're fine. I think Virginia's okay after closing the regular season last night with a home victory over Georgia Tech and looking fairly good in doing so. But then you've got Wake, Pitt, and to a lesser regard, Syracuse. You know, Syracuse is what, I think 79 on the net. The last I saw this morning, the worst net ever to make the field as an at-large was Rutgers at 77. Yep. A couple of years ago. That may have even been the COVID year, so that's kind of a squirrely, you know, it's hard to set precedent from that. But only three teams ever in the 70s have received at-large bids since the net debuted in 2019. So I think it's a long slog for the Orange. But Wake and Pitt, who could meet in Thursday's quarters,
yes,
the way the bracket fell, that could very well become winning you're in and perhaps lose. Hello, NIT.
Yeah, if you're somebody who's rooting for more ACC teams to get into the tournament, the way the bracket turned out with Pitt and Wake potentially facing each other in the quarters, that's the last thing you wanted to see, because that could really be a knockout game.
Yeah, it absolutely could be. I happen to think they're both worthy. I think they could advance a round or two in the NCAA tournament. But it may come down to Thursday in DC, depending on it. Always, people always ask, well, what does this team need to do? It all depends on what happens elsewhere.
Sure.
You just don't know if there's going to be bid thieves out there, what other bubble teams are going to win, lose, look good, look poor. So you think that the Wake Pitt winner is going to be okay, but the Wake Pitt loser, not doomed, but definitely an anxious selection Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Who else do you, is there another team out there? You know, you got Wake Pitt, they're searching for NCAA bids. Is there a lower seeded team you think that it could go to Washington, D.C. this week and do some damage? Maybe not earn an NCAA bid, but is there a team that you're like, you know, this is a bunch that could go there and win two or maybe three games?
Mike, somebody asked me this a week ago, and my immediate instinct said Syracuse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I trust me, and you know far better than I that the Orange do not have a distinguished history in the ACC tournament. To put it mildly, but I like teams that can score. And Syracuse, when it is right, can absolutely score. And Judah Mintz is a problem for defenses. And then when he's getting help from the likes of Copeland, that they are, to me, they're, and J.J. Starling, they're impressive. You know, ask Carolina. You know, they beat Carolina, and that's who they – who would they get? That they would get Duke in the quarters, right?
Yes, tough matchup for Syracuse. But
It is, but, you know, has Duke looked the part here in the last 2 weeks? Didn't look great at Wake Forest. Certainly didn't look great last night. So I'm not so sure that's an unwinnable game for Syracuse. And then the other team deep in the field that can score is NC State.
And guessing Syracuse might have to play in the second round.
Second round, yeah. And that could be a track meet.
Yes.
I remember watching NC State at Wake earlier this season, where Hunter Salas and DJ Horn were just trading haymakers for much of the second half. I believe both had more than 30 points. It was wildly entertaining stuff, and a game that the Deacons ended up winning. But there's another team that's not playing great right now, but they can score.
Yeah, with DJ Horn, the Taylor kid lately has had games where he's just gone off.
And he's a terrific defender too, Mike.
Yeah, I expect he would play a big role. But we'll see. I mean, you'd be asking Syracuse to win to beat NC State for the third time in as many meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all know the old cliche about having to beat a team three times in a season. Now, you know, it can be done. So we'll see what happens there. Which team do you think maybe of the top teams, which team do you think got a little bit of a break in the draw?
Let's call up the bracket. I confess to not having it committed to memory.
Okay.
I mean, I think to me, Carolina has been the best team throughout.
And you would think the one seed should have, of the top seeds, the easiest draw, although sometimes with unbalanced schedules, it doesn't always work out that way.
It does not. And, you know, I think the Tar Heels will get Virginia Tech in the quarters. Now, Virginia Tech has closed the regular season with three straight wins for the first time in 8 years. Now, part of that is whom Virginia Tech played in those three games. But again, the Hokies can score when Padula and Couture and Tyler Nickel and Robbie Barron are knocking down threes. They can play with a lot of folks. Now, they played in Chapel Hill earlier this season. This is why I don't like Virginia Tech to get past Carolina. Is, man, I think the Tar Heels went for 96 in that game at the Smith Center. And they're just a serious matchup problem on the interior for the Hokies. So in that regard, maybe Carolina did get a break in the draw. I think they match up very well with Virginia Tech, and then in the semifinals would get presumably Pitt or Wake Forest.
Yeah, and when Carolina goes up against Pitt, Carolina has guys that can defend Blake Henson, which is job number one when you play Pitt. And it would be interesting to see how Pitt's young guards do against Carolina's old guards.
Very old. Well, the whole team, except for Elliott Cadeau running the point, is very experienced. And you saw it last night in Cameron. I mean, those guys were, what? It's like a day at the park. You know, they're used to this. They're used to getting heckled. They were unfazed by any of that foolishness from the Duke student section.
You know, 2 years ago, Virginia Tech won four games in as many days and won the ACC tournament.
They did.
Hunter Couture was on that team.
Yes, he was. And not only that, he was the MVP.
And Hunter Couture has been at Virginia Tech now for how many years?
He has. He is one of Mike Young's all-time favorites. And Padula was on that team as well, so that they have that experience, that memory. But I just think Carolina is too steep a hill for the Hokies to climb.
What about Clemson? Can Clemson duplicate what Virginia Tech did and win four in 4 days? Is that the team?
I've been on the Clemson train all season. Have really liked them. I think they will beat either Miami or Boston College. I suspect it will be Boston College. It just seems Miami is too banged up and almost appears to have checked out. So I think you're looking at a Clemson-Virginia quarterfinal late Thursday night. And that was a one-point game at Little John in their only regular season meeting. And the Tigers lost it by one and had a wide slam open three at the horn to win it and just missed it. Jack Clark.
Right.
So Clemson, Virginia, could Clemson win that game? Absolutely. Could Clemson beat Duke or Syracuse? Clemson, Syracuse semifinal?
Another Joe Girard versus his alma mater.
Yes. And he's done pretty well in those games, right?
He certainly has.
Yes.
But even though that would be intriguing, I would sign up to watch a PJ Hall versus Kyle Filipowski. I would right now. I'd pay good money to watch that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I mean, I think, Mike, that we are looking at a Duke Carolina rematch in the championship game. But would Carolina Clemson be a stunner? No. I just think Clemson's really good, and I think Ian Schefflin is among the most underrated players in the league in conference play. He's averaging a double-double. That's hard. That's difficult to do.
Yeah, the Syracuse team that I cover has quite a few candidates for most improved player. And without revealing who I voted for, Ian Schefflin was a guy from other schools. You know, like when you're trying to compile numbers and stuff, sure. Ian Schefflin is a guy who jumped off the page in terms of like, my goodness, you know, how well he's playing this year and compared to where he was at last. I mean, I know he started last year. I know he was a guy that helped Clemson, but man, he's so much better.
He sure is. And you know, you're talking about improved players. Hunter Salas was a 4 point a game guy at Gonzaga for two seasons. And now he's the alpha male at Wake Forest. And he's Steve Forbes. He works that portal and hasn't been able to get the Deacons over the hump into the NCAA tournament yet. Is this the season that they get there?
You know, one guy, I've got to ask you about this. You mentioned him earlier, Syracuse's sophomore guard, Judah Mintz.
Yeah.
Not only is he intriguing to me and like how much he's meant to Syracuse coming down the stretch, or actually all year long, but this is basically a tournament being held in his hometown. He's from Fort Washington, Maryland, just outside D.C. He went to high school in D.C. So how jacked up do you think Judah Mintz is going to be to play these games this week in his hometown?
Oh, yeah, he'll be sky high. The difficult part may be calming him down, right?
Yes.
That'll be Red's first priority, I would think. Just say, be yourself. Don't try to do too much. You and we have seen what you can bring to this team and all that you mean to it. So just go out there, be you, and everything will be fine.
You know, so Judah's a guy we'll watch. You know, we mentioned how 2 years ago that tournament in Brooklyn turned out to be Hunter Couture's tournament. Mm-hmm. Every year there seems to be a guy or two. I mean, I know going back to my Big East days, sometimes I remember tournaments almost for individuals than I do teams. You know, there was the Jerry McNamara year in 2006. There was the Johnny Flynn year in 2009. Are there any other guys? And maybe not the obvious names. Okay. Maybe don't say RJ Davis.
No.
But is there another guy that you think could become a guy that makes this tournament his week?
Oh, I think there are a bunch of them. You look on Carolina's roster, Harrison Ingram has averaged, I think he too is averaging a double-double in league play. As a matter of fact, he's the leading rebounder in conference games, even ahead of his teammate Armando Bacot. And then look at what Cormac Ryan did last night at Cameron, went for 31. And how crazy is this? I was reading Steve Kirshner's post-game notes. Cormac Ryan's 31 points were the most by a Carolina player at Cameron since Hubert Davis in 1992, who had 35. Oh. How about that? That's a long time, Mike.
That's a good pull by Kirshner there, too.
Right? Yes, that's a really good pull from Kirsch. He's absolutely the Stone Cold best. And so I think there's two guys from Carolina, Tyrese Proctor at Duke, Isaac McNeely at Virginia. I mean, he is a shooter, and if he gets on a roll, it could be something something along those lines. And, you know, you were mentioning the Jerry McNamara tournament or the Johnny Flynn tournament. You know, I always go back to the Randolph Childress tournament.
Right.
In the mid-90s where he scored, I forget what the total was, more than 100 points in a three-day period and single-handedly lifted Wake Forest to the ACC championship. So it's funny you mentioned that. You do remember sometimes the individuals more than teams.
All right, so as we wrap this up here, David, and we're going to go back to teams, who's your pick? Who wins this one?
Chalk. Carolina. I know that's so unimaginative, but they have struck me, Mike, since February as the best team. Since they handled Duke at the Smith Center, and it just seemed so, what's the word? Not emphatic, but convincing that game, as was last night. I believe they have now played 80 minutes of basketball this season, and Duke has led for about 25 seconds of those 80 minutes.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Carolina's just better. They're older. They're deeper, I think, than everyone. What you don't know, and it's always difficult, what's your motivation going to the ACC tournament? Because, you know, it's almost like playing the Independence Bowl before going to the college football playoff. I mean, it affects you. It might affect your NCAA tournament seeding, and yeah, you want to cut down the nets and throw up a banner, but does it really mean a whole lot? To Carolina, when you have national championship aspirations every year, I mean, Roy Williams was, over the years, he didn't even hide his, not disregard, but the ACC tournament was very low on Roy's priority list.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right about that whole dynamic of motivation. I mean, if there's a would-be semifinal between Carolina and Pitt,
right?
If the Pitt players, if Jeff Capel has them convinced they have to win that game.
Yes, hair on fire.
Yes. You know, so, you know, and who knows? And Carolina could be sitting there looking ahead to a final.
With Duke, yes.
They want to see Duke again. Mm-hmm. And regardless, they know they're going to a tournament. So I think that's what makes these conference tournaments somewhat intriguing still. You don't have the drama that we had back in the 70s when the winner was the only team that would go to the NCAA tournament or in some of these other, you know, the mid-major leagues or the smaller leagues where that is still the case, where it's only the winning team going. You get to the leagues like the SEC, Big Ten, ACC, and sometimes, you know, motivation can become a factor. Sure. So,
50 years ago, Mike, the greatest ACC tournament ever. 1974, David Thompson and NC State against Maryland and Lefty and Tom Milton, Len Elmore. Only one team got to go.
And just how great was that Maryland team that didn't get to play in the NCAA tournament?
And was so distraught, they declined a bid to the NIT.
All right, well, David, listen, this has been fun. It's so much fun talking basketball with you. Can't wait to see you in Washington this week. Thank you for joining us here on the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast. And to all our listeners and viewers out there, thank you for joining us as well. We'll see you next time.
Join us next time for the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast, presented by Krause Health, the exclusive healthcare partner for Syracuse Athletics.